Book of Acts, chapter 1, verse number 8, Jesus' words, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." That's really what missions is all about, taking it from here to there and everywhere in between. And that's what you're going to hear this morning as you hear the stories of how God has used our people all around the world already this summer. So I'm going to invite to start us off here, folks from the Bel Air Town Run, Erin McCoy, who kind of heads that up for us as our liaison to the Town Run. She's going to come and let us know how God has used us in that opportunity right here in our community.
Good morning, everyone. I wanted to share briefly a little bit about the one mission opportunity that comes up each summer, which is called the Bel Air Town Run. Last month was our third consecutive year participating in this run. And for those of you who aren't familiar with it, it's a 5K, 3.1-mile road race that takes place first Sunday of every June, right here in Calvary's backyard, literally runs through the neighborhoods behind here. And one of the things we forgot to do this morning, we actually got a plaque that was presented to us from the race director and the race officials to Calvary Baptist Church. Thank you for your support. And this was for June 7th, 2015. But before I go any further, I'd kind of like anyone who has participated in any form in the last 3 years with us, whether that's stuffing race bags, handing out water during the race stop on the actual day of the race, or for those of you who walked or ran the race in the last couple years, if you would please stand. And then I want everybody else to just kind of take a look around the room to see that this is clearly an opportunity for all ages and all abilities. You guys can sit down. Thank you very much for your support. I think a lot of people see this in the bulletin sometimes when we promote it and start talking about it in the spring and think, it's a 5K, it's a race, how am I going to help with that? What are we actually doing? I'm not going to sign up for that, I'm not going to help. But you can see we've got opportunities for everyone, and it is a really cool opportunity to be a part of the community and help. We stuff over 2,000 race runner bags. And another thing I forgot, clearly I forgot a lot of things in the 8:30 service, so we'll have to tell them later, I guess. We stuff 2,000 runner bags with all of information. For those of you who have run in any kind of race, you know it usually comes with a bag of coupons and stuff like that. But we also are able to put in a card about Calvary Baptist that gives information about what we do, where we are, and kind of invites them to church. So every single runner that's registered for that race is going to get some information about Calvary, which is pretty cool. We also help on race day. We set up the mid-race water stop, so at about mile 1.5, we hand out cups of water to the runners and are just an encouragement to them. And then we also had some people who have actually participated in the run. I've actually seen some of them running with Calvary t-shirts on and all of that, so it's a really cool opportunity. One of the things that I think is pretty important is the race director himself has mentioned to me over the years several times about how impressed he is with the fact that a church actually wants to participate in this community event, because it is on a Sunday morning, and he's told me tons and tons of stories about how community churches complain to him all the time about, why is this race on a Sunday? You're taking up church time, you're blocking traffic, and we can't get to church, complaining about this when it goes on. The race is at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I will tell you, for the last 3 years, we've all made it back to church by 9:30, 9:45 at the latest, so you still can make it to Sunday school and church, even helping with this race. That's one life that we've just kind of touched with. He's getting a totally different impression of what it means to be part of the body of Christ and to come and be a participant. And it made me think a lot about how Jesus never sat in the synagogues and just made everyone come to him. He went out into the community, he met the people, he made relationships, and that's how he made that connection. And that's one opportunity that the Bel Air Run gives us a chance to do that. So we will start planning again, probably April, May, around that time frame. So go ahead and put on your calendars, first Sunday in June. And then for those of you who love to stuff bags, because I know so many of you do, probably the most fun, right? 90 minutes, we got it down to 90 minutes. I don't know how we did that this year, but it's because we had probably 50 people helping us. So that was pretty awesome. I appreciate it. And we'll start planning again for next year. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Aaron.
I appreciate Aaron. If you could just kind of hang tight for just a minute, we enter our roll into our next. I appreciate Aaron kind of picking up the torch and really working hard to be our connection with the Bellarat Town Run and the leadership there and helping us to know how we can serve. She also serves as our kind of connecting point to our next ministry that we want you to hear from, and that's from the Brent Gordon and his family. His wife Jess and his family are here. These are our church planters down in Dundalk, right down the road. We help support them, and you're going to hear what God is doing there, and I appreciate all the work that Aaron has done to keep us connected with Brent and the ministry there. So, Brent, good to have you again with us. Let us know what God is doing just down the road.
Good morning, family. I think the 8:30 service did a little bit better than that.
They did.
Yeah, I think so. Let me try it again. Good morning, family.
Good morning.
All right, that's much better. As Pastor Mike said, my name is Brent Gordon. For those of you who don't know me, I am pastor of Gallery Church East Point, located on the eastern edge of the city of Baltimore in a community around the outskirts of a community named Dundalk. Many of you are familiar with Dundalk. I've spoken to many of you throughout our time getting to know your family and that live there and are familiar with the community. I want to start off this morning. Oh, by the way, this is my wife, Jessica, and our three clones. I mean, daughters, Kylie, Tatum, and Zoe. And I hope you get a chance to say hello to them and meet them. They are a lot cooler than I am. So Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Nearly 3 years ago, my family and I and a handful of others felt the call to plant a church in Baltimore. Now, I grew up in the city of Baltimore, but my family was not. We were living in Charleston, South Carolina. I was a youth pastor, which, by the way, I always used to take my youth group to North Greenville University for MFUG. So it was cool to see you guys having that. It's an awesome place, isn't it? Sorry, that's totally off my notes and aside, but I thought it was really cool this morning to see you guys go there. And so we moved from Charleston, South Carolina, to Dundalk. And what's funny about that is that that's the one place where I sat around with a group of table and pointed on the map where I told everybody, I'll go anywhere in Baltimore, the city, no matter what, except for there. And that's the one place where we planted a church, is the place I told God we wouldn't go. God has a sense of humor like that. Every time we think we have these the best laid plans, he says, "But you forgot about me. What is my plans?" And so we obeyed and faithfully obeyed, and the Lord led us to the East Point community. And I'm excited to say that in about two Sundays, we're going to celebrate our one-year anniversary for our church, plant, which is pretty amazing. Throughout this year, we have experienced ups and downs. We've experienced loss, hardships. We have experienced the blessings of God and the favor of God. And you know what I mean when I say that. When you experience the favor and the blessings of God, you also experience opposition from the enemy. And so we have experienced our fair share of opposition this year. We are humbled at the opportunity, as Luke said, what Jesus' mission is to seek and to save the lost. We are humbled at the opportunity to join Jesus on that mission in our community to seek and to save the lost. I'm very humbled and thankful for the support that I've received from this church, from Calvary Baptist. I can't tell you throughout the times, whether it's Aaron or Pat or many others or Mike, who have been a constant source of encouragement and a major source of encouragement. I don't know how many of you know this, but probably not a lot. You are the first church that ever allowed me in to come and share my vision for what God had for church planting for me in Baltimore and my family. You're the first person that let me in the doors to share that vision, and also the first church family to commit to supporting us. And so I am incredibly and immensely thankful for you and my family as well. Our whole church family thanks you. It's a little weird to be here this morning knowing that I'm a little distracted. My church is going on right now, and I'm not used to leaving them. So it's a very weird feeling this morning. So many great things have happened this year. I just want to share just briefly a couple major things. Many of you know and heard our story that before we planted Gallery Church East Point, we were given an entire church campus. And for just a handful of people and a young pastor, that was a terrifying prospect. It was incredible because I'm like, who starts off church planting with just a handful of people and already has these resources? Well, what I didn't realize is what it takes to run and manage resources like that. And we inherited a campus, but it was in disrepair. And there was so much work that needed to be done. The campus itself was a tremendous blessing, but I remember the first time I walked into the sanctuary, there was mold and mildew and all sorts of things that were around. And I looked at this facility. I said, you know, we may not be able to use this for 10 years. I can't see us having the resources to be able to use this for maybe another 5 to 10 years. And so we've been stuffing ourselves into a little fellowship hall where we've been having our weekly services. And, you know, God is good and God provides. If he has called something, if he has asked for something to happen, if he has sent his people, it will get done. And I'm telling you, after a year of team after mission team coming and investing their talents, investing their gifts into our property, I didn't even know where half these people came from. God just sends people, doesn't he? He is a sending God. And if there's loss to be reached, he's going to send all the resources that we need. And so I'm really proud and excited to say that next Sunday will be our very first worship service in our newly renovated sanctuary. And God provided. Over this past year, I didn't mention this in the first service, but over this past year, just about every building has had renovations. The house that's on the property, where the little church family that lives on the house property, yes. And we have seen that before we moved in there, that space was unlivable. We have seen God provide what must be close to $100,000 worth of gifts to get the properties in a place where we could host people and welcome people in. And that's just amazing. We didn't spend a dime. God provided all of that. And you guys are a big part of that. But perhaps what is most important and what I'm most excited about, more than a building, more than any renovations, more than all that provision, is what we have seen in the lives of people in our community. I have had the privilege over this year to sit across from four of my neighbors and lead them to Jesus. I have watched four of my neighbors come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that's immediate neighbors that live all around. I've seen them come out of addiction, have their marriages healed. We have truly witnessed miracles. We have a lot of homeless population that comes to our church and comes in and out. Even if they don't come to service, they're in and out. We have developed relationships with a lot of them. And the picture that you see is a young man named Nick. Last week, we had a mission team come from North Carolina, and they did a sports camp for us. And Nick, along with several other young men, came. Nick is 18 years old. Nick had just recently been kicked out of his house. Nick was living in a tent, and he came to us very skeptical, very keeping us at arm's length. And towards the end of the week, you can see this picture there. Somebody snapped. I had the opportunity to lead Nick to the Lord, and next Sunday, we're going to be baptizing Nick at our first service. And so, yeah, that's awesome. I never expected when God sent us to plant a church that we'd have a building, we'd have a grounds. But I did expect that he was going to lead us to lost people and that we would be a witness for him. And that's what I want to encourage us all as we're focused today on missions. Let us remember that Jesus' mission was to seek and to save the lost. And he calls each of us as his children, as his disciples, to join him on that mission. We are all sent. You are sent to your neighborhood, to your street, to your house, to the places where you live, where you work, and where you play. And so be on mission with you. And I just thank you from my family to yours, from Gallery Church East Point to Calvary Baptist Church. Thank you so much for your support, for your prayer, and for your encouragement. We love you guys.
Stay right here. We're going to pray for you. Right here, we'll pray for you. Would you join me as we just pray for this family and for this church? Dear God, we just thank you so much for the Gordon family, Lord, and their sacrifice, Lord, and coming to a place that's difficult, Lord God, but just taking up that charge, Lord, not giving up. Lord, just thank you for the incredible way you've blessed them, Lord, and the small part that Calvary can play in that. Lord, I just pray you give them endurance to continue on, that we might continue to hear testimonies of people like Nick and others coming to know you. We just praise you, Lord, for what you're doing in Dundalk. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Well, you've heard what God's doing through our benevolence ministry and through our reaching into the community through that and the Bel Air Town Run. You now heard what's going on down the road there at Gallery Church East Point. And now let's shift our focus north to New England and hear what God has been doing in the state of Maine. As you know, Maine is near and dear to our hearts after serving 9 years there in a church. And now we're sending folks there. And so we want to hear from folks. We had two different trips go to Maine this summer. And so we want to hear what God has done through our people in Maine.
Thank you. Okay, I noticed Sandy's back here this time. I didn't recognize her, our first service this morning at 8:30, because I said the youngest one in our group that went on this trip was 65, and she says, oh, well. But she's part of another trip to Maine as well with Debbie with the U, so I'm going to not include her for this portion, but try to make this correction here. But Debbie, you do look good for 65. And I want to also say, for those that ever contemplated on going on a trip, you're never too old. I mean, we had one, and I'm not going to say her age, other than the week we came back, she celebrated 87th birthday. So, and Dottie has been so faithful in so many trips, so I just definitely want to take time to recognize her for that. But June the 8th, we, six of us, went to Maine on this trip, and I've yet to figure out how, with four women in the backseat as driver, telling us which way to go, because Denny and I drove. We had three navigation systems. Every one told us a different way. It took us 14 hours to get there. It took us 12 hours to get back. I've yet to figure that one out. But don't listen to the backseat drivers, and whatever you do, just take one navigation. Don't take three, because every one said left, the other said right. So, and that's the way it went. But we had a great time. And while we were there, and so you understand, Farmington Conference Center in Maine, you'd have to relate that to like Camp Wamito here in Maryland, if you're familiar with that. And they host a number of events a year with the children's camp, the girl and boy camp, and as well as the other things there in Maine. And they host a number of retreats and things of that nature as well. Saying that, you got to understand that in Maine, it's a fairly large state. They have a lot of small churches. And when I say small, I mean very small. Have difficulty supporting these events. So this is why us here at Calvary have taken that on as a venture to come alongside them and support them and encourage them as well. Going up there, there's various things you could do. I mean, we've gone up during trips where we've had VBS with Living Waters and things of that nature, homeless ministries and all that. This year was a little different. We went up there with a mission emphasis of helping to restore some of the facilities. This past year, they actually had a tree fall in one of the cabins down there and crushed the top of the cabin. After a crew came in and removed the tree and repaired the roof, our team, and I'm speaking of the girls here in particular, Debbie, Pat, Helen, and Dottie, had gone into that building, cleaned up glass, nails, all kind of debris, roofing shingles and all that, and then had to take everything out, clean everything. I'm talking about all the bunk beds, all the mattresses and everything, and clean that so it'd be ready for the girls' camp, which was coming up in a couple weeks after that. Denny and myself, there was a bunkhouse there that had a large closet. We actually put in a full bathroom in that closet. And I'm talking about a shower, a toilet vanity, and all this. I mean, it really, really turned out well. And while we were there, you have to understand, you're working with other people that's involved, like some electricians were there, we had plumbers were there, and you have to wait on them as well as far as inspections. You know how that goes when you're doing renovations. And Denny and I were also able to do some repairs in the kitchen facility. We put in, I think, a screen into one window there and then a shelving unit there as well. But Dottie, Debbie, and Helen, and Pat, besides the work they did in that cabin, they went into the home there next door, and the Chandler house, they call it, and cleaned there and prepared that for a mission team that was on stateside leave so the family would have a place to stay for the summer. So, I mean, there was a lot of work that went into that as well. I don't know how Debbie and Denny found time to cut the lawn, and it's huge, acres and acres of lawn there that they cut. And Debbie still found enough energy to weed the garden. I don't know how she did this, but we did find time to not only share in helping and coming alongside them. You have to understand, is everybody familiar with Broom's Bloom around here, the ice cream place? Up there, they have a place called Gifford's. Well, I can assure you we visited every night. We had a great time with that. With those that had worked up there, Anne Lawrence, she's the one that's overseeing that. They also found time to prepare a dinner for the entire, the board of directors. And let me tell you, they were appreciative not only of the dinner, but Calvary's participation in coming alongside them and helping them. Like I said a moment ago or earlier, you're never too old to serve. So whatever you do next time around, and there's going to be numerous opportunities, you're going to see that with the Blair Run, with other trips to other countries, as well as here in the States. I mean, we're just touching, you know, just some small given areas that we've been able and blessed to come alongside to help with. More and more opportunities are out there. We just need more and more people involved and more people to volunteer. And I can assure you, there's a place for each and every one of you to serve, no matter your age. I'll tell you one thing, there was no rocking chairs on this trip because these guys, they worked. And I want to take this time to thank each and every one of you for your support and encouragement. And I'm saying not only your prayers, your financial support, because if I was asked anyone that supported this or went along to this team, every one of you were involved, all the way from praying to giving, I mean, you know, and all this. So I want to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you for your participation in this trip as well. Thank you.
Amen.
Debbie and I had the privilege to go to girls' camp at Farmington from July 12th through the 19th, and that's a picture of our staff for the week. We had 42 girls from 4th grade to 12th grade, and it was larger than last year's camp with a smaller staff. So it was a little more difficult, a little more taxing, but it was worth every minute. Our theme this year was Made to Follow. And we talked with the girls about knowing who Jesus is and joining him on their journey and following him through all the ups and downs and the awesome times and learning by his example that he offers in his word. And we just had a great time with that. I was a cabin leader. Debbie was in the kitchen. We had six girls accept Christ for the first time, which was awesome. Amen. I had 12 girls in my cabin, and 8 out of the 12 committed to deeper relationships with the Lord. They were all saved already. However, they all really wanted more, so they committed to either reading more or telling their friends, or some of them are feeling led to missions. To being missionaries. So four of those eight are actually feeling like the Lord's calling them to missions, which is really exciting. Something I forgot to tell the 8:30 service, we were able to participate in a ministry project during the week, and the girls decorated bags, and we made goodie bags for first responders, and they came to camp on Thursday, I think, and we were able to have a little presentation for them. Seven of them came, but they made bags for 75 first responders in the Farmington area, and they were really touched, and they said that they seldom are thanked for what they do. So it was really a great time for our girls to be able to honor them. And also, a missions offering is collected, and those 42 girls, plus some help from adults, raised over $400 during the week, which will go toward a missionary's family receiving a full water filtration system. And also, one missionary kid will be able to attend a re-entry retreat. That's where a student has graduated from another country, and they're a missionary kid, and they're sent back to the States to go to college. And because they've been out of the country maybe their whole life, they're not accustomed to what we do here in the United States. So the WMU puts on a retreat for them to teach them what it's like to be an 18, 19-year-old in the United States. Some of them come back not knowing what to do with a debit card and things like that, not knowing how to pump gas. So they teach them all those things. So we sponsored one MK to be able to do that, and then the water filtration system. So that was a blessing. And God never neglects when he sends us on a trip to work in our own lives. And he did deal with me during the week as well. So that was a blessing.
And I want you to know, since Denny and Don didn't drive, it only took Sandy and I an hour and a half to get there. we had a good flight, flew into Portland, and then it's a two-hour drive or two-and-a-half-hour drive up to the camp. We want to thank you all for your prayers and support. It was just such a blessing. And even Anne, the camp director, said there was something different this year. People were more open. The Spirit was leading, and the girls were listening. So thank you so much.
Thank you, folks. Well, we've looked north, and now we can look south. Our students, as you've already heard, we're in South Carolina, and so we invite our students who are at Fuge to come, and they're going to share with us about what that experience is like. And as they're coming, you're going to watch a three-minute video, parents and others, so that we can see what actually goes on at a Fuge event. What is it that our kids are going to each year? So why don't you kick that off so we can see that, and then we'll hear from a few of our students. We'll be right back.
Okay. sorry. So this week, this particular week was very phenomenal, honestly. To be honest, when I first got there, I wasn't looking forward to it at all. I wasn't exactly obedient to God for, you know, a while. So this was, I guess, uncomfortable for me. And that's where God uses you the most. So so I go in. We're late, by the way. It was horrible. and so we go in and we sign in. And the next day, we have first day of sight. It was, again, I was being stubborn. I didn't want to be there at all. But I was there, and I guess I felt I was forced to be there. But after the first day of sight, we went to worship. And I don't know what happened, but it was just the most profound sermon, profound worship I ever had in a long time. So it was on the first day, you know, like that's usually in the middle of the week or something. So it was great. And a lot of us were felt the Holy Spirit that day. So that was definitely, I guess, a wake up call for me. So it was time to man up. And it was time to understand what it really meant to be a reverent, manly God. So I understood that night. And I haven't heard God's voice in a long time. And that night was the time when I heard him. So yeah, it was just a very spectacular moment for me. You know, all of us wept, you know, out of, because we just felt the Holy Spirit, had the goosebumps, had the, it was just a good time for all of us. This past year, I had, you know, that downfall all the time. And so I was going through the motions. I know maybe some of you are still in that position right now where you're wondering, should you be living for God or not? You know, if you have that mentality of, should I strive for him or should I not strive? Because sometimes you don't know what God's doing. And so you just got to trust in God and say, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what this road leads, but I'm going to trust in you that it's going to be okay and that I have to trust in you or else we're going to be lost. So I understood that this week, and that's pretty much what this week has been. And it's been a phenomenal one. So thank you.
Good morning. My name is Joseph Hare, and I'll say a few words about one of the experiences from MFUG that I thought was most impactful to me. So Thursday night, it was our third full day at camp. All the students from the entire campus went to an organized time of meditation and prayer and just reflection. So we started out in a large auditorium, holds quite a few people, and we just spread out and had a quiet prayer time. No one was speaking, no one was being distracted, just very solemn and very serious. After that, we went out to a different place on campus where they had large whiteboards or large blackboards set up. And one student at a time would take chalk and write one word on the blackboards that they thought best described Jesus to them personally. During this entire time, like I said, no one was speaking. Everything was silent and just very serious. And you could feel the Spirit moving the entire time. After that, we went to a place where there were clotheslines set up maybe 30 feet long. And we would write trials that we're going through, have been through, currently struggling with, whatever, on note cards and pin them up on those clotheslines. And then afterward, you would walk between the clotheslines and you could just see like all the things that people were going through, and it was very eye-opening, just that whole experience. Then the last thing that we went to, they had large chalkboards again, and you would write a single word that was devastating to you, that someone had said to you, something that was would bring you down or was painful to you. And you'd also write a single word that was encouraging to you and brought you up. And yet again, it was very powerful to see all those things that people had experienced because of that. And I think just the takeaway of that is that when you really focus, you're quiet, you're still, and you see how God's working, it's a huge, profound impact on you. So, yeah. Anna?
Hello, my name is Hayden, and I would like to share you like one point of the trip on Fuge that really touched me. When I was walking out from my last track to free time, I saw this girl like sitting by the statue by the auditorium. She started like crying and starting to get sad, so I just walked up to her and I asked her, "What's wrong? What's the matter?" And then she said, "I feel worthless, and like I don't know a lot about Jesus, and I want to know like how to become a Christian and all of that stuff." So I explained to her for like about like 10 minutes or 11. I don't know much, but like I explained to her all about how to be Christian and the whole story about Jesus. So like she started crying some more, and like, but not sadness, it was tears of joy. Then we hugged, and then once we stopped hugging, she just told me that I want to become a Christian. So she decided to become a Christian and accept Jesus Christ.
I'm Anna, and for me, Fuge was a really powerful experience. I learned how to trust God like fully, and how to leave all my fear to Him. When I got to camp, I thought I knew what God was planning for me. I thought I knew how He wanted me to serve Him. But when I got my track assignment, I was really surprised because it wasn't what I was expecting. I thought I knew exactly what He wanted me to do, and it wasn't at all what I thought it was. And I had a lot of fun with it. I learned that maybe it was something I wanted to do instead of what I thought I wanted to do. And when that first day, like Brandon said, was really powerful for everyone at camp, and I said, "No more fear. I want to give it all to God." And that it showed me that I could be more outgoing, and I was able to get to know everyone in my church group and everyone in my track group more, and it allowed me to be more able to talk to people at the site and get to know them as well, and that it showed me a lot. So, yeah.
Before they make their way down, I want you to thank the leaders. It's a big sacrifice to take these folks, be with them 24/7, a whole week away off of work and all the rest. I want to thank our leaders for as well. As if this hasn't all been enough, I want to lead you one last place today, a little bit further south, to the country of Nicaragua. So if Team Nicaragua would come, make their way here, and you're going to hear, again, four more stories as we close today. We left on the 16th, so we thought, and we got to Baltimore, got on the airplane, left here at 3 a.m. From the parking lot, got on the airplane about 5:30 in the morning, got all settled in, all excited to go to Nicaragua, and they come over the speaker and say, "Oh, we don't have a captain to fly the plane." I offered, they said, "Sorry," and we waited again. They said, "He's on his way," and a little while later, they say, "He's stuck in traffic in D.C., he's not coming. We got to shut this flight down. Everybody off the plane, gather your stuff, go back all the way out to the front, start over, figure out getting a flight, how to get out of here, all of that." And I tell you, these 12 people behind me, not a single complaint. We all went out and got in line for about 90 minutes and started all over. And that's when they said, "Well, we can get you to Houston today. We have to get you to Houston today. That's the only way we can get you to Nicaragua tomorrow, is to get you to Houston today." So this crew was incredible, and we used the time, and I really, really appreciate them and their incredible attitudes. So I want you to hear how God used this time to impact them. Who needed to go? You guys said you had to go in a certain order.
How's everybody? I'm John Ernie. I'm Pastor Mike's son, if some of you don't know that. But this was our second opportunity to go to Nicaragua. Me and my dad went 5 years ago, so going this time, we got the opportunity to do some different things, which was cool. We got the opportunity to visit a Nicaraguan dump, so if you like close your eyes and think about what one of those looks like and smells like, you're right on. That's exactly what it looks and smells like. And so we got the opportunity just to go there for a little while and talk with the people. And so as of a few years ago, people used to live in the dump, and that was their workplace. They'd find scraps and plastics and cardboards, and they'd sell them, and that's like their recycling process. And so they were able to make their wages for the day, which it could be only a couple dollars. So we decided just to go and just try to share the gospel with these people in there. So as we approached the dump, there was some people actually living at the base. It was these three guys, two brothers, and their cousin. And it was kind of awkward because, like, 14 of us, and then our four translators and the camp director at Campo Alegria all just kind of swarmed these three guys. So 13 white people in a Nicaraguan dump. It was kind of intimidating. So we were all just kind of looking at each other, not quite sure what our plan of action was going to be. And so my dad ended up sharing his testimony while we all just kind of looked at them. And so they didn't really respond to that. So after that, we felt called. Like, so me and my dad went back just to talk to him on a more personal level. And as we were talking with them, we found out that two of the guys were completely unchurched, and one was a, like, non-really practicing Catholic. And so we were able to talk to them for a little while, and as we were talking, we noticed that two of them were kind of listening, kind of not, and one guy was, like, honed in on every word we were saying. And so we really started to talk to him a little more. We were able to hand him, like, a New Testament in his language, and so we began to go through the back of the steps of salvation, kind of a Romans road kind of thing, and he was hanging on our every word. And so we asked him, is this a decision you're prepared to make today? And he was kind of hesitant, and we're like, what's stopping you from doing this? And he said that making a decision like that is almost too big. It's too much of a burden to bear, knowing that there's too much darkness in the world already. If he sins, then he'll feel like he's just adding to that darkness. And so we're able to share with him how Jesus came down as that light for him, and how when he went back up to heaven, he wants each of us to be that light for other people. And we got to remind him that even though God hates sin, God loves him. And we shared with him that La Biblia dice, Dios es luz y no hay ninguna tinieblas en él. The Bible says, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. And so we're really able to experience what bringing the gospel to the highest of highs and the lowest of lows really is. So we got to experience the latter part of that day, something I won't forget.
Hello, my name is Mike Schaefer. I am Sue Nichols' brother, and my niece here is Kara. One of the opportunities that we had was to go to a Christian school and share the gospel there. And at first you might think, well, why would you need to share the gospel at a Christian school? Although I'm sure they've heard the gospel before, and their parents may be Christians, and the teachers may be Christians, are probably Christians, as we heard from our brother in Mfuge. You know, you can even have somebody that goes to a missionary thing and not know Jesus yet. So one of the things we did was we blindfolded one of the kids and then led him around the room to illustrate that without Jesus, we are in darkness, but with Jesus, he will guide us where we need to go and guide us in his path. And it was really neat because our devotional that morning was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And it just happened to fall right in. to that. Then we had a few people share their testimonies and how the Lord had led them in their lives. So even kids that had come to the Lord, you know, could be encouraged, you know, that when times get hard in our lives, that Jesus will continue to be there for us. And finally, we had this tool called an Evangel Cube. It's a cube that's actually made of 8 smaller cubes that have pictures on them. And you know, there are instructions on what each of the pictures represents. And it opens up and folds out and flips different ways to be able to share the gospel from beginning to end. And it's a really neat tool. If your ministry is interested in finding out more about Evangel Cube, you could talk to Pastor Mike. He can show you one. I think we brought the big one back with us. I wish I had it here to show you. I didn't think of that ahead of time. But it's a really neat tool. So that was a neat opportunity for us.
Hello. I would like to share one moment that really impacted me. I met a girl named Barisa, and she was standing off to the side when we were all in the lake, and she was really scared and didn't want to go out in the water. So I asked her, I was like, do you want to go swimming with me? And she was like, no, she's all scared. And then so I held out my hand and asked her to come out with me, and she said no. And then I went out in the water and showed her it's okay. And then I held out my hand again, and she took it, and she went out in the water for a couple of hours and had a really good time. And that just made me feel good that she felt she would be safe with me and she wouldn't get hurt.
Hola, me llamo Kyle. ¿Cómo estás?
Hello, my name is Kyle. How are you?
Luckily for all of you guys, that's the only Spanish I know. Just a few things I wanted to touch on. The language barriers, you just saw, you guys probably had no idea what I just said, even if you took high school Spanish. But it was really difficult. A lot of times you had no idea what the kids were trying to say to you, and they had no idea what you were trying to say to them. But there was one day in the water, I had a tough time the first day connecting with the kids, and normally I'm loud and obnoxious and get along with the kids very easily, just like my dad. But the second day, I was kind of like, I didn't really know how I was going to start talking to the kids. And we got in the lake, and there was probably 4 or 5 kids that were just all over me. I'm sure you'll see a picture of it. But there was 4 or 5 kids that were just all over me. And a few of them still talked to me afterwards, or tried to talk to me. And that was awesome to me, because even though we couldn't connect over a language, you know, just over laughter and playing around, we got very close. And the last day, there was one kid that we ended up hugging like 5 or 6 times in probably 20 minutes, just because we had connected so well. And, you know, just because we had that language barrier, it was still like, you know, back to what Craig said in the first service, we were one body of Christ. And it was cool to see that, because, you know, there were so many barriers, but we were still all together as one. And the second thing I wanted to touch on was something that came up in one of our devotionals. And the question was, how can we bless others tomorrow? And, you know, we all kind of took it like jokingly, like, oh, well, we just can't complain about the plane ride tomorrow, because it was our last day. And, you know, I kind of thought about it for a second. And I said to myself, we can bless others tomorrow by not ending our missions trip today. We have to come home. We have to make our homes our mission field. I think that a lot of times people go and do missions work, and that's the focus. So it's a lot easier to do missions and to share your faith with people. But I think when you come home, you need to be able to share your faith with people as well as you did on the missions trip. You know, make your school, your work, whatever it may be, your missions field. And I think that's very important, and that needs to stick with you. And the last thing I wanted to say was, sed santos porque yo soy santo. And that means, be holy for I am holy. Thank you.
I tell you, I've been on and led a lot of trips, domestic and internationally, over the years. And this team you see behind me, along with Sean and Alex Bosley, the Bosleys, as you recall, got transferred to Alexandria, Virginia during our preparation process for this trip. They were able to come with us, but of course they can't be here today. But this team behind me and the Bosleys were just so incredibly flexible. A day did not go by on this trip that we didn't have to change our plans. Like I said, from the moment we got on that plane in Baltimore and then had to get back off, they were never, ever complaining. There was one particular night where after they had gone to bed, the plans changed. And so in the morning, I'd tell them, oh, by the way, the plan you went to bed with last night has suddenly changed, and you've got, you know, just this morning to do this, this, and this, and be ready. And every single time, it was without complaint. And so in honor of that, and what we've been doing around here really since the flood, is Gumby has been our mascot around here since February. So I want to present each one of them with the Gumby Award for their flexibility on this trip. You can keep them this time. Yeah. You get to keep them this time. He'd give them back to me after 8:30. Yeah. You get to keep them. And I will ship two of these off to the Bosleys. And again, I'm so thankful for this team. And just like Kyle just shared and was shared by Craig in the 8:30 service, living missionally is something we're called to do each and every day, not just away on some other field. And that's really the challenge for each one of us. Thank you, guys. As our praise team comes to close us in a time of response, as they come prepare, I just want to leave you with Jesus' final words there in Matthew's gospel. Jesus came and spoke to them, and you know the words. You saw them on the screen earlier. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. You've heard of missions done locally. You've heard of missions done down the street, up in Maine, down in South Carolina, and in Nicaragua. And each and every one of those represents an opportunity where somebody said, okay, Lord, here I am. Send me. Maybe today the challenge for you as we come to this time of response is simply to say those words. Here am I. I don't know where you might send me, how you might use me. It might be in your workplace tomorrow morning. It might be in your schools this fall. It might be in your neighborhood, in your family, or it could be taking part in a future opportunity, whether going down and helping the Gordons in Dundalk, whether participating in the Bel Air Town Run in some way next year, or participating up in Maine or some future opportunity here, Fuge next year, whatever the need, it starts with availability. That's all God wants, is your availability. I'm going to close with a word of prayer, and the praise team's going to lead us. We'll stand after I pray. If you want to just come up front and just say, all right, Lord, I'm available. You want to come, I'll pray with you, or you just want to come and pray on your own and just say, God, whatever, wherever you'd have me to go, whatever you'd have me to do, whoever you'd have me to talk to, I'm available. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Father God, we just thank you so much for your command to go, but also for your equipping, that you never send us without equipping us. And God, you're just asking for our hearts. You'll give us the ability when we simply give you our availability. God, I just pray that right now, those who might be struggling with that decision would get up the courage to just release that to you. Release the fears, release the uncertainties, and simply hand their lives over to you fully, whatever that might mean in the days ahead. Dear God, I just pray you protect these next few precious moments from distraction, and let the only movement be movement of hearts toward you. We love you and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. That's
amen.